Okay, what's the? It's the barrier.
Wait, where's the music?
No, we'll get to it. Is your mic on? Say something.
It's on.
Okay, good. Look,
flawless.
Yeah, great. So you know, it's like the barrier. Is that what it's called?
Uh huh. Around
the
ring.
Yeah, with like the AEW logo on it.
Uh huh.
So during one of the dark matches, Orange Cassidy was just kind of leaning up against it, but he had like his jacket folded as a pillow behind his head.
Uh huh.
With his hands in his pocket. And someone leans over with his camera and says, "Hey, Orange Cassidy, do you think you're ever going to win the championship?" And he just goes, "Probably."
It's boss time! The fact that Mike Kanellis is a clear beta cuck is the problem.
Oh, Baltimore. From Baltimore, Maryland, it is Baltimore, Maryland's favorite-ish podcast about professional wrestling. It is the Midcard Mechanics.
The longest-running weekly episodic podcast from Baltimore, Maryland.
In podcast entertainment history.
Good.
Oh, man, keeping those fire burning. That's why we have no friends who of other wrestling podcasts. We're just trashing everybody needlessly.
We tried.
That's why we have so many sponsors.
We tried extending an olive branch.
Oh boy, we are the Midcard Mechanics. My name is Gavin.
I'm Mark.
And if you are new to the show for some reason this week, welcome.
Oh yeah, what a week.
Boy, what a week. We're doing the episode a little bit later this week because we wanted to have the full breadth of pro wrestling majesty laid out before us to talk about. A long, long time ago, there was a Monday Night Raw.
God, it seems like forever ago.
We had the premiere of AEW Dynamite on TNT.
Fire.
And at the exact same time, NXT on USA for the first time, all full 2 hours and 15 minutes. It just Triple H just needed it to be just a little bit longer.
They are really showing what can be done in the indies.
And then on Friday, we had the premiere on Fox, a network-level pro wrestling event, whatever that means to you, Friday Night SmackDown.
It's like if UFC took steroids and drank Monster Energy drink.
And still was 13. All that and more in this action-packed...
God, in 1 week.
Flawless episode. I know, we have so much to talk about. I think we are doing it right, waiting for the first narrative arc to complete.
Yeah.
Each week is a gauntlet.
Well, and then there's Hell in the Cell tonight.
That's tonight?
Is it Hell in a Cell or Hell in the Cell?
Hell, I thought it was Hell in a Cell. Hell in the Cell. I don't know. No one knows. It's like Berenstain Bears. It's the Mandela effect. It's the Schrodinger's Hell in of... a cell. Is it Inna or?
I think we had this conversation last year before Hell in a Cell. I think it's an A cell.
I like not knowing for sure.
Why wouldn't it be the cell?
Hell in a... Well, they have to use a fresh one each time.
Yeah? Is that what the regulations say?
It's just not sanitary any other way.
Shit.
Who buys a used cell?
So.
For sale. Greenwich, Connecticut. Gently used Hell in a Cell.
How many cells do you think that dude and his mom own?
Wait, what do they need a cell for? Do you think they have like a Costco-sized warehouse where they just store their collection of Hell in Cells?
It's like how Jay Leno has warehouses.
Are they just
for his
Hell
cars.
Cells? Yeah, give me another Hell Cell. Yeah, you know, the cell that you put Hell into, and then it becomes Hell in a or the cell.
I think it just should be Hell in the Cell.
Right. It probably is, for all we know.
I doubt it. It's something that we should
Siri,
easily
is
look
it
up.
Hell in a Cell or Hell in the Cell?
Here's what I found.
It's Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
Yeah, thank
it's
you.
Just there a it cell.
Is. Wikipedia to the rescue. I'm exhausted. That's more than I've thought about Hell in a Cell until this moment. My God.
So should we start with Raw?
Yeah, I'm not watching the main roster still. I had no real interest. I started, but this was the week that I popped back in. I figured that this was the week I needed to watch the whole shebang. I needed to watch every show. I didn't quite catch every show, but I think I got the gist. But yeah, so you'll need to fill me in on Raw.
All right, so Monday night,
I saw most of Raw, but...
Yeah, so I had a softball game Monday night, and by the time I got home, Raw was already like, 2 hours in. And I was texting you, and you were like, well, I'm going to check in on Raw, and then your next text was like, more cuckolding, wow, or something like that.
Was that just this week?
Yeah, that was Monday.
I thought that was last week.
And I was like, I was.
This was the week with the new stage, right?
Yeah, that was this week.
I didn't even notice the change then. I thought that was 2 weeks ago. I have my Raws all screwed up.
No, with
No, you're right.
So then I was just like, oh boy.
Oh my God, it's coming back to me. I did see it.
Yeah.
And it was, I had totally forgotten about that skateboard ramp style looking.
Yeah, that's stupid.
It's all, I literally blocked it out.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
no.
There's a reason why. And you warned me that something was going to happen, and I just didn't realize how bad it was going to be. So I was like two hours behind. And so what pisses me off so much about.
I had to do that at SmackDown also. Now that I think about it, we had almost the exact same thing.
Yeah. So what pisses me off about Raw is, for the first time in forever, the whole episode actually contributed to this basically main story of the episode that led to the what turned out to be the penultimate moment of that episode. But
that's the part I missed. I tuned in just in time for the ending.
Yeah.
And that completely was the worst thing to see first.
So I... feel free to jump in, but I want to run through real quick.
Because I want to know what happened. What did I miss?
So at the beginning of the episode, Rey Mysterio comes out because Rey Mysterio and Seth Rollins were booked to have a Universal Championship match. And Rey Mysterio comes out and he's in his jeans, but still wearing his luchador mask because he wants to address the crowd. And his son Dominic was sitting in the front row.
Oh, right. Dominic.
Who you may remember from the apparently custody match that Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio had once. It was like a ladder match for custody of Dominic. Oof. Anyway, so.
Really? Something else I must have blocked out.
So, Rey Mysterio is talking to the crowd, and out comes Brock Lesnar for whatever fucking reason, who then attacks Rey Mysterio, then also attacks Dominic, throws him like from the front row onto the mats, and is just beating the shit out of both of them. And then. Dominic's taken away on a stretcher. And later in the show, Cesaro starts talking shit about Rey Mysterio, and then Ricochet steps up to defend Rey Mysterio's honor. So there was this, like, defending Rey Mysterio's honor thing that was happening. And then there was a Miz TV segment where Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan came out.
Oh, no.
That was just womp womp to me. But the WWE Universe absolutely fucking lost their minds seeing those two. And then they start yelling at each other and stuff and doing their old bits. And I was just like, Jesus, this is pathetic. And then The Miz announced that at the Crown Jewel in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, no.
Where everyone's going to lose their heads. Rick. There's going to be a 5-on-5 match of Team Flair versus Team Hogan. And so Hulk Hogan announced, he'll always be Hollywood to me. Hulk Hogan announced who his team captain was, and out comes Seth
Rollins.
What
a Hollywood liberal.
So out comes Seth Rollins. And then
good.
Ric Flair announces who his team captain is, and out comes Randy Orton. And then Seth Rollins is like, let's have a fight now. And Randy Orton's like, out of nowhere, bro. And they start like clearing the ring. That's not how Randy Orton talks at all.
No, but it's how he thinks.
So they clear the ring, and then right when they're getting ready to start this match, out comes King Baron Corbin. And so it's 2-on-1 against Rollins, and they're beating the shit out of him. And I don't really understand why Randy Orton is just so cool with Baron Corbin coming out to fuck up a title match that he was supposed to have. Maybe it wasn't a title match, but a marquee match for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's 2-on-1. And then out comes Rusev out of nowhere. Damn it. Out comes Rusev for the save on Rollins.
He's hearing Bulgarian voices in his head.
So then later in the episode, Charlie Caruso is interviewing Rusev backstage. And she was like, first question I want to ask you is, where's Lana? And he doesn't say anything in response. And then she's like, hey, why'd you do what you did? Why'd you come out for a Rollins save? And he's like, something about how, yes, it's true, he and Lana are having problems, but he's not there to talk about his personal life. He's there to talk about what it means to have honor or some shit, I don't know, and how he was standing up to defend what is right, and it was wrong that it was two people attacking Seth Rollins. So
just.
And Seth Rollins had already, previously in the same episode, Seth Rollins had opened, he said, that sucks, Rey Mysterio is hurt. Get well, bud. When you are well, you have a title shot. In the meantime, I'm opening up to challenges. So then when it came to Rusev, this interview with Rusev, Rusev was like, Seth Rollins, issue challenge. I respond. I want fight. Like laying it on thick, like he doesn't speak English.
He's just slowly turning into the Hulk.
So now Rusev is going to have a match with Seth
Rusev
Rollins.
Crush.
Yeah. So far, we've like had like 2 hours of this episode.
Yeah.
And then there were a few other matches that were not related to this story, but like there was a Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks segment that adds to their championship
heels.
Match.
I saw that. That's about where I tuned in.
And then there was innuendo to the Fiend there because Lawler is now an announced.
Oh, wait. There's one thing I want to say about Bayley. If she wants to be a heel, she needs a totally different entrance because it's impossible to have those. That music with the wacky inflatable guys reaching for the air and smiling while you're looking tough.
I think that she could do it sarcastically, like in a mocking way.
Or if they were all black and they changed their music. Then maybe
she could definitely still have those balloons make fun of people.
Right.
But yeah, she definitely needs more to be a heel. But, you know, that's for the Rough House podcast to talk about.
Man, they do not listen to us.
No, they don't.
No one listens.
No one does. So we've had like basically 60% of this show leading up to this Rusev Rollins match. So if you think about it, there were bits like outcomes of each of those segments led to this. It was a cohesive story where
what?
Where everything was leading up to this match, which was the main event of Raw. And so they start having the match, and then out comes, before the match, they showed a white limo showing up backstage.
Ooh.
And then they go to commercial break, and then they come back, and they start the match. Like, Rollins and Rusev come out to their music and everything.
Was it someone styling and profiling simultaneously?
Well, that motherfucker was already there.
Oh, right.
And he'd already been out. But, like, there's rumors on the dirt sheets that John Morrison is
rasping
coming back.
Out one last woo while he still can. That was dark. Jim Morrison.
Yeah. Jim Morrison's
the
coming
Doors.
Back from the Doors to wrestle. No, John Morrison.
John Morrison. Jim Morrison is his wrestling identical twin brother.
I guess John Morrison won like the first season of Tough Enough.
Jim Morrison?
Which I kind of remember. No, Jim Morrison was lead singer of the Doors.
Right.
John Morrison.
Oh, is confusing people like me.
His wrestling character is Jim Morrison.
Yeah. No, really?
Shouldn't it be?
It should be. He should be like the off-brand Jim Morrison.
Yeah, he should be like Val Kilmer in The Doors.
John Morrison. As good as Jim Morrison.
Oliver Stone.
A Jim Morrison equivalent.
Oliver Stone should direct an episode of Raw.
John Waters should direct an episode of AEW.
Fuck yeah.
That would be fucking great.
But, you know, John Waters is not Oliver Stone adjacent.
Let's tweet that at them. Maybe these two just need to meet because of us tweeting.
Yeah. Say, hey, November 9th, you guys should try to meet up with John Waters and, you know, get his ideas.
Oh, my God.
But tweet that better than I said it.
No, I got it verbatim.
So Rusev and Lana are, I'm sorry, Rusev, Lana's nowhere to be seen, by the way. And sorry, there was also the Maria Kanellis thing. So Maria Kanellis is interviewed backstage, and she's like, Rusev's not the father. And then, like, brushes that aside. And I was like, oh, okay, sweet. Maybe they're going to drop the whole cuckold story. So they have, maybe. They start the, yeah, maybe. So they start the Rusev-Rollins match, and then out comes Randy Orton, and out comes King Baron Corbin standing at the top of the ramp to, I guess, distract those two jabronis that are in the ring.
Is John Waters not on Twitter?
That doesn't surprise me.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no, it doesn't look like it. Well, how am I supposed to give him ideas unsolicited? Sorry, continue.
We could just, he's probably at the BMA right now.
I'll just write a note and I'll leave it at Atomic Books because that's where he picks up all of his fan mail.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll just say, you, emergency, you need to hook up with AEW for my personal entertainment. Make my one, make my every whim come true.
Yeah, you should definitely do that.
Don't you know who I am? I have a podcast. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yeah, all week long we've been talking about how disastrous the internet and giving idiots a platform has become, and here we are on our podcast.
What we've done. Look at what I have created!
So, Baron Corbin, King Corbin and...
Shouldn't he be King Baron? Kings went by their first names.
Details.
I mean, every king went by their first name in the history of kings. Like, there's not a single king, famous or not famous, that didn't go by their first name.
King Booker. Is that his first name?
Booker? Booker
yeah.
T?
Yeah.
I would imagine so. It's Booker, and his last name is T.
But yeah, they didn't call him King T.
No, King Booker. King. Baron Corbin can't even do that right.
So then, while the Rusev and Rollins match is happening,
yep.
Bobby Lashley's music drops.
Yes, I was watching for this part, and this is where I texted you.
Yeah, and so you had texted me 2 hours before. So
what did I say?
You were like, oh, I see they're doing more cuckolding. So then 2 hours later,
oh, I didn't mean to spoil it for you.
Well, 2 hours later, when I get to this, I was just like, oh no.
Oh no!
I texted you that, and I was like, "Oh no!"
Oh but, yeah, and I said, "Ah!"
And he kept looking back towards the entrance, and I was just like, "They're not going to do this, right?" Then, sure enough,
you were going through a very similar.
Lana comes out,
yep,
and they start making out at the top of the fucking ramp.
Oh, it made me so uncomfortable for so many reasons.
Yeah, one, clearly none of them were into it.
Oh, it was, yeah, there was that.
Two, who writes that shit?
When Rusev closed his eyes to not see it, I thought, oh, that's real. That seems real.
Three, somebody really loves the porn category, blacks on blondes.
Yeah, like there was a disturbing thing going there. Like, I don't know if that's just because I know about Vince McMahon and his history, but when I see that, like, that's just I don't like what you're insinuating, sir.
Ugh, God, it was just fucking revolting.
It's like, oh, good old fashioned 1940s fear of black people. Yeah. Is that when America was great?
Like, what the fuck? But what pisses me off so is all those things about how disgusting it is.
It was gross in so many ways.
Yeah. Oh, and then The Fiend came out and attacked Seth Rollins. But
which
cares?
Was really weird. Yeah. It felt like The Fiend just walked in at a bad moment.
Enough of the mandible claw.
Well, now Mick Foley gave it his blessing, so we're going to see it forever.
But really, like I texted you, shouldn't it be called the Aziz Ansari?
Is that what he was accused of doing?
Basically, yeah.
Making a woman watch wrestling. I mean, I would see the point.
Apparently he kept like putting his fingers in a woman's mouth, maybe like down her throat, I think.
Just like Mick Foley used to do to Al Snow.
But apparently he kept like checking in throughout the course of hooking up and being like, is this okay?
All right.
You all right? Well, is this okay?
That's awkward.
You don't say. Making out with somebody and having them shove their fingers down your throat and then them looking at you and be like, is this okay?
I can't say it's something that I've had to ever experience, and I can't imagine it's something that would ever be okay.
Yeah. So I guess.
And I've had some weird dates. I got trapped in an IKEA on a first date once.
What?
Yeah, and she still had on the way there. Although it was a first date. We were like, hey, so do you want to go, like, I don't know, see a movie or something, or like go get something to eat? She goes, well, I need to get something for my apartment. Do you want to come to IKEA with me? I'm like, that's a horrible idea for a first date. But I mean, like, I guess. So in the car ride on the way there, she had programs from a funeral of a friend of hers who had died in a car accident.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
As I'm sitting in the passenger side, I realized as I'm sitting there on 495 and also understanding that Tyson's Corner, where she lived, is a long way from College Park, where the IKEA is, especially when there's traffic.
Oh, my God.
And so I'm just sitting there like, oh, fuck, I want to go home. It's like one of those, you're probably wondering how I ended up in this situation, kind of situations. And that probably wasn't as weird as what that segment was for Lana and Rusev.
No, certainly not. So yeah, so that was Raw.
It's a true story too.
Tons of pyro.
There were.
Holy shit. An excessive amount of pyro.
Like they were overcompensating for something.
Yeah.
Well, do you know who had Mark exactly the right amount of pyro?
Who?
My perfect. My beloved. My can do no wrong. All Elite Wrestling.
Is it time for the
It might be. Are you ready?
It's the N-E-W.
Oh, my, oh, nothing's right. I don't know what's happening. Oh my God.
It's the N-E-W-S from AEW.
I hate myself. Also, that is awesome every time. I pretend to not like it, but
so like it. We watched Dynamite together.
Mark, I want to say something right here before we get into what happened.
Sorry. Just burped into the microphone.
Whoa, what is this? Is this late 90s Howard Stern? How shocking, a belch.
10 hottest chicks in AEW.
Jesus Christ.
Number one, Brandi Rhodes. Number two.
No, stop.
Brandi
stop,
Rhodes.
Stop. We have to learn from past others' past mistakes, Mark.
Number three, Brandi Rhodes.
Brandi Rhodes is hot. Everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Fucking Cody. But she's a Michigan fan, apparently.
Oh, does that sour her in your eyes?
Fuck yes, it does.
Okay.
I don't even want to meet her anymore.
You know.
I'm sure she's crushed.
I always imagine the women wrestlers and the line of creeps they have to deal with every single time they do a live appearance.
Oh, my God.
That has got to be, I mean, you have to do that and wrestle. Fuck. Why don't they get equal the number of matches at least? Like, fuck, they're putting in a... You have to love it a lot more.
Fuck, equal number of matches. How about just pay them more? I'm sure they don't.
That get, too.
Sure they don't make enough to How deal about, with that shit.
What if? Oh my God, AEW should just have its own women's show. Be great.
Somebody needs to have their own women's show. Why not? I can't believe WWE hasn't done that.
Also, one small note, AEW. You guys really want to be cool? I know you have a AEW Women's Championship. Why don't you call the AEW champ World Champion? Or there's the Women's World Championship and the World Championship.
Call it the Men's?
Why don't you just call it the Men's World Championship? It's a small, small thing. No one will notice except for the people who will notice. And those people will love you forever for acknowledging the small gesture.
Just more of AEW shoving that liberal shit down our throats.
Exactly. And that's the reaction someone would get to doing such a small, meaningless thing.
I want to see the server.
It's
where's the server?
Oh, that guy.
CrowdStrike. Look into it. He's just doing his job.
Oh, no.
The Bidens, yes.
This guy votes.
Nyla Rose, I don't think so.
Oh my God. The thing that this warmed my heart the most was there are a lot of guys out there that I bet were seeing Nyla Rose perhaps for the first time and saying, shit, I'm going to look her up online. And then having to really confront something about themselves. And then perhaps rethinking how they may have judged others in the past. And that really warmed my heart. A little forced of the, like, that's like, really? Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Yes, into your own soul. You're welcome. And now enjoy some great wrestling.
Sort of what I went through Friday night when I was texting you about The Rock.
Well, he's a very handsome man. Again, as in the case with Brandi Rhodes, no one can deny that. You have a pair of eyes. You're a human being.
Yeah.
That's an attractive man.
He just seems like the coolest fucking dude in the world.
And he'd be a great big spoon. Again, something no one can deny. Look at those arms.
So let's talk about AEW Dynamite.
Yes, AEW Dynamite. Mark, it's been a very long time since I've seen something happen in this world of ours, this dark place where we live in this period of American history. It's been a far and few and far in between the times I felt hope, the times I've seen something that I can believe in, something that warms me from the inside and says, yes, this is right. This is the right thing to do. This is the way things should be. Out of darkness, I see light for the first time. I see color, splashes of powdered color in an amazing intro. I see what it's like to feel hope again. And I had forgotten that feeling. For so long, I had struggled in the darkness. I had forgotten what hope felt like. Quite frankly, I had forgotten what happiness felt like. And there I was, my hopes already so much higher than they should have been. Just a timid boy in the wind, hoping for a break in the stormy weather. Just one more glimpse of the sun. And then it came. So much more brilliant and warmer and brighter than I could have expected. Mark, All Elite Wrestling Dynamite was everything I have ever wanted in a professional wrestling show.
It was fucking sweet.
Except for that thing about the titles that I said earlier. Like, fix that.
How many on three?
Oh, yeah. Oh, claps?
Yeah.
Our official. For new listeners, we officially rate things arbitrarily on a
scale
claps.
Of smart claps.
Right, smart claps. And we're going to do it on three and see where we match up. Okay, ready? Two, three. Oh, you were going slower. You went faster than usual. We do it in a much more. Let's do it the way we really do it, Mark.
Okay.
With as much arrogance as possible.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, really elite. Smark it up for okay. these smart claps. Okay. Right. You feeling limber?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're all smarked up. Ready? One. Yes, four claps. Four claps.
Sorry, I forgot what that was all about.
And I forgot that the dog would love it. Loves it when people clap. She starts to run around. Maisie the dog, everyone. Maisie the dog. The good dog.
AEW Dynamite was good.
That's what I was really trying to say. Thanks, Mark. You really... I should have just said it that way. It would have been a lot quicker.
No, it was fucking awesome, man. That crowd was great.
That crowd... was like a WCW or WWF crowd during the late 90s. That kind of with a lot
less rapey.
Yeah, less rapey, less homophobic signs. Zero homophobic signs. Good on you, crowd. But it was like that same level of energy, but just a better version of it.
Yeah.
When they did cuts to the crowd, every single person was like, oh, I'm enjoying a great night of great wrestling. Like,
yeah.
Everybody seemed like they, what did we say? Like they, we're enjoying a really nice craft ale.
Kevin
the enlightened
Smith.
Smarks. It's our listeners, I think, basically. The people we're looking for are AEW fans.
Yeah, definitely. Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes seem to be enjoying themselves.
And Kevin Smith looking great. Look at that skinny old man.
Yeah. So I guess, is he wearing like jackets from when he was fat?
That's what I was concerned about. I don't think he knows how to dress yet for his body.
I don't think he ever really knew.
No, that's true. No one, but that also means no one in his life loves him enough to tell him he should not dress that way. Go to a tailor, find someone who can perhaps give you new measurements and say, hey, let's take some things in for you. You are going to be in front of a camera promoting a movie you made. You might want to make sure you look good. I don't know. He needs the Queer Eye guys.
Yeah.
How do we nominate celebrities?
Yeah. You should watch Red State.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Oh, I have it right. We had this conversation while we watched AEW Dynamite, and you gave me your copy of Red State. I don't know what it is about AEW that leads us to this place, but... Oh, Kevin Smith. That's what it was. It was Kevin Smith.
Yeah. But the show was great. The wrestling was awesome.
I loved it. I loved that there were a couple of times where you thought they were going to do an in-ring promo.
Yeah.
And it instantly got interrupted by the wrestlers. Like, no, we're not doing a fucking interview.
Yeah.
It was making a statement.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Except for Jericho, he can have the microphone as long as he'd like.
Yeah. And they had these matches that introduced the 1.5 million people to
Portland and the roster. Million! Singular.
The matches were great. The talent is abundant. The commentary was awesome.
JR and Tony Schiavone.
Yeah.
Together again.
Yeah.
It's something about the chemistry of people that have known each other for a long time that really adds to their commentary. And there was a moment when it was Tony and Cody in the ring together right before Cody's match. And like, my God, like they've known each other since Cody was a little kid. So
that's
wild. Like that moment where they're hugging each other. It's like, fuck, they have really built something here.
And yeah, it's really special.
Something that you can see someone who has really poured literally his entire life into. And that just made it even more special.
Yeah, it's a great show.
I mean, even Vince hasn't poured his entire life into it. The way Cody has.
A big surprise to me was Jake Hager, formerly wrestled as Jack Swagger, showing up, one, looking phenomenal.
Like, holy shit, he never looked like that at WWE.
He looks like healthy.
It looks like he gave up drinking.
It looks like he's well rested.
Yeah, like he's been working out, focused.
And immediately when I saw him, I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. I never once got excited to see Jack Swagger in WWE. But something about him being an AEW tells me, like, I just think, like, oh, man, this is going to be fucking great.
And he looks ready for something. And I'm ready to find out what it is.
It was just like Moxley. Like, Jon Moxley having such a complete and different persona and just energy to him than when he wrestled as Dean Ambrose in WWE. And it's like, holy shit. Now how many is that? That's Cody, Pac, Sean Spears, John Moxley,
Jericho.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jericho. and now Jake Hager, Tennille Dashwood, I think, eventually.
Yeah, she'll be great there.
Yeah. She's awesome. Awesome Kong.
Oh, right. Yeah.
She was at WWE.
The Revival. Oh, wait, no. Hold on. Not yet.
Luke Harper. Kevin Owens.
I wish I had been able to watch AEW Dynamite live with the Revival. Just sit in a room with them. Or just have a camera on them and just watch them watch it.
God damn.
How much
so
crying
good.
Do you think? Was there like, do they swear a lot?
I think in April they're gone. I think that's when their contract's done. And same with Luke Harper around that time.
Did you see Ibba's...
Or they might be late 2020.
Was it Kofi or... Oh, God, I can't remember which member of the New Day it was. Oh, we'll get to that. Get to that. Poor Kofi. Look, I think it was Xavier Woods tweeted out that he wanted, have a great show. I hope everyone has fun and does well or something like that. Like a basic general, okay, look, everybody have great matches tonight.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins replied with 3 vomit emojis.
Of course he did. He is a company man through and through.
That was
he's
it was,
one half of Seki.
Yeah, and that was yeah. They're the they're Trump's new Trump's Vince's. Oh, why do they line up so well? Why they're do they have so much in common?
If Ivanka and Don Jr. got married,
they're his. They're his. Oh no! It is.
If Vince had a son, it would be Seth Rollins.
3 vomit emoji. I think is how Don Jr. has actually replied to something before.
Yeah, Christ. To subpoenas.
But Big E had a great response. He had like this long, over the top diatribe about smiting his enemies, which I gave 4 mental smarts. Claps too, because he's just the best. I love Big E. He can do no wrong.
I think obviously the New Day, I mean, in a dream world. Oh, and then so there's basically,
you mean in the future when AEW buys WWE,
there's basically 4 promotions out
write
there
that
now.
Down what episode is this.
There's 4 promotions out there now. There's Raw, SmackDown, NXT, and AEW.
Yeah.
It's 4, and they're going to make Raw and SmackDown separate brands again with like a dedicated roster.
We'll see.
What would, yeah, right, exactly. What would be amazing if they did that, which they could do it the right way. I think it's stupid to do it because they don't have to.
Right.
But they could do it the right way because they have so much fucking talent.
Right.
Imagine, though, a scenario in which Vince actually celebrates and cares about wrestling, and WrestleMania actually was WWE versus AEW versus, or it'd be Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT versus AEW versus New Japan. And then you have like these ridiculous crossover matches on the grandest stage of them all.
It's what Ring of Honor and New Japan already do.
Yeah, but it's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but it's WWE.
Just imagine a world in which that happened. But no, there's no such thing.
So you'd be Vince okay, won't even, you'd be okay with the world being socialist.
Vince won't even have like he probably wouldn't even allow like crossover NXT Raw matchups or NXT SmackDown.
I mean, if it's selling a pay-per-view or a movie or something.
But like, why wouldn't
they
care
about the story?
Why wouldn't they just want to get all the wrestling fans instead of just the wrestling fans that watch WWE?
Yeah, have crossovers.
And a few other people. Why don't they just get all the wrestling fans? Because there are more global wrestling fans than there are people on the fringe who don't watch wrestling that might tune in because Brock Lesnar shows up.
Mark, it's the same reason Spider-Man's never going to fight Superman.
Is one, is it because one's DC and the it's other one's Marvel?
Two companies are stupid.
they like money.
Oh, they do the occasional crossover, but when it comes down to it, they got to protect their own business.
They like money, but not all the money.
That's why Sony threatened to make it so that Marvel can't make any more Spider-Man movies, just to get them to give them more money.
I know. It's so stupid, grown, though.
Grown adults go to work in this country every day to a boardroom and have fights about who gets to write, who gets to play pretend with Spider-Man. This is happening every day in America.
Yeah.
While America burns.
That's what wrestling is.
Right.
It's grown adults in a room discussing about who gets to fake fight somebody else.
Yes, but that's amazing. That's art. That's an art form.
Well, so is Spider-Man. It's just as...
Well, it can be, but then they made movies like Spider-Man 3. And no one can argue that that had any...
Well, somebody...
That's a movie that I want to be Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Minded for.
Somebody could Batman Spider-Man.
But they won't because
they totally could,
massive
though.
Conglomerates that don't will never agree on who gets how much money.
I read in The Atlantic about comic book movies.
Why doesn't The Atlantic cover pro wrestling yet?
I don't know. I don't know. I wanted to contact them so badly and just offer myself up for them.
It just fits into the world. It's like a missing puzzle piece that only we can see. And it's like, you guys, this goes there. And then they go, oh, God, now the bigger picture makes more sense. We're like this tiny little piece that no one takes seriously. What a burden it is being a wrestling podcaster in 2019.
Just give me one feature article.
Well, have you written it and submitted it to them yet?
No.
Well, then there's maybe.
How many great ideas have we come up with on this show that require writing that I don't write?
Well, we're both very busy, important people. Probably both in the wrong careers, wasting our talents.
Busy counting our gold.
We should both be writing articles for The Atlantic on pro wrestling.
God damn it, yes.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even put our names. It would be by the Mid-Card Mechanics.
Right, or we can just come up with a pseudonym if they're happier with that. I don't know.
Yeah, Mark and Gavin.
Yeah, who cares? just a link to the podcast.
We'll put our last name first and our first name last, like Daniel Bryan.
Or Walt Isaacson.
So who are you? I'm Brian Danielson.
No, damn it.
Okay.
We need to freshen things up. You're on the big stage now. You can't go by this indie name no more. We gotta punch it up and make it really exciting. Something no one's heard you wrestle under before.
Daniel Bryan?
That's some good shit.
And scene.
I'll say poo poo pee pee.
Oh shit. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but that really sounds to me like a toilet flush now. Like, you know, I hear that. That's a sound that runs through my head when I flush the toilet after I pee.
Yep. We're like the...
You're welcome, America, slash the world.
This podcast is like an Ohio State football game. Took the offense a little while to get going. But once they get going...
Unstoppable.
We just need a little more confidence.
I don't think that's our problem. Yeah, AEW was amazing.
Oh yeah, it would be if AEW and NXT and Raw and SmackDown and New Japan.
Right, yep. Sounds great. But that would involve cooperation among corporations. Well, it would involve the WWE cooperating.
Maybe there's room for bipartisan support to regulate professional wrestling.
Maybe.
And to require there to be a WrestleMania, an all-inclusive WrestleMania.
Mark, is it? Do you think it could be that AEW is the light in the darkness we should all follow? Is this a canary in the coal mine getting a fresh of breath air for the first time in days and just barely clinging onto life, finding a new energy again, and perhaps like coughing up a little bit of coal dust or whatever it is that canaries do? They probably all would die in the scenario, but bear with me. That I think AEW might be a bellwether for change in America. If all of us, elites like you and me, and a bunch of dumb fucks who watch WWE and eat a lot of dough, apparently, because that seems to be the demographic they advertise to. I don't know who these people are, and I don't mean to call them stupid for voting for Trump, and probably a second time coming up. But what if they can learn a little bit about a broader world through good old-fashioned wrestling on TNT?
It makes sense.
Like, how else? Can you think of a better way to reach people and explain to them about how the world is changing than through pro wrestling, something they would actually want to watch?
Trump voters?
Yeah.
NASCAR?
Oh, yeah. NASCAR? No, that'll be with whatever country succeeds out of the Union again for Civil War II.
Sean Hannity?
Oh, he's also going to their new country. Texas Landia. Come here. I just came up with I should pitch that as a horror movie. Texas Landia. Oh. Somebody steal that and make that a thing. I'm far too lazy to write a treatment and then a script. I've done it before. It's a lot of work.
You have?
Yeah. I've written a couple of screenplays.
Really?
Yeah, but for saying what? It out loud depresses me. Yeah, I'm trying to shop around my screenplay. I'm working on my screenplay. Would you mind reading my screenplay and giving me some notes? I don't know. This is a tangent and a weird nerdy thing I love, but whenever they do the Academy Awards for Best Original Screenplay, they publish them publicly online, and you can download a PDF, and you can read the screenplay. And some of them are really cool to read. There are some that are just the way that they're written. You can see how much of the way the movie took shape just came from really clear writing. And so I kind of like that. And I got my MFA in creative writing and publishing arts from the University of Baltimore. I don't know if I name check them enough.
I went to law school there.
Yes, I went to the Creative Writing and Publishing Arts. And you know what? It was fucking awesome because I wrote two screenplays. And they did a thing like at the end of the screenplay class, they had actors that came in and read for people's screenplays.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I'd like written plays in high school and shit before, but I hadn't really done anything until I went back to college. And but it was really cool because the actors liked mine the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it's like, shit, yours was really funny. Like some of them, you could tell the people who had written them had never really read them out loud.
Yeah.
Or hadn't really written screenplays or plays before because it could get a bit heavy, long-winded in dialogue, which is easy to do. I mean, listen to me right now. But yeah, so we should write this as a screenplay.
Was it like the scenes in Barry where they're in Dr. Cousineau's class?
Exactly.
Not Dr. Gene Cousineau's class?
Yeah, Dr. Doctor is fine.
Like, it's clear that there's some that have talent and others that don't.
I don't want to say what side I was on.
It's implicit.
But like what you're saying, like so many ideas that we have had on the show have just involved us just doing a thing. Like, oh man, I would be really good at writing screenplays, but... Ugh. I don't have to tell people that I'm writing screenplays all the time. Is that really the thing that's holding me back? Dude, that's terrifying to realize right now here on a podcast.
We could totally write a fucking bomb-ass screenplay.
Fuck yeah. I can punch up dialogue like a motherfucker.
Yeah, you can. It's, I mean...
Ugh, I'm living on the wrong coast again. How did this happen?
I know. It'd be really, it seems like it's...
To Los Angeles! The mid-card mechanics are moving. It's been decided.
It just seems like you have to really know how to kiss some fucking ass to make it in that industry.
Well, if AEW is any indication, we're about to start valuing talent over connections and nepotism any day now.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes' son.
Shut up. Except that we needed one last act of nepotism to get the ball rolling, but that's it from now on.
I have to use the...
Like, look at Jungle Boy. He didn't lean on his dad's name. He made it on his own merit.
Yeah. It's like Nicolas Cage just happens to be Francis Ford Coppola's son, but... Or grandson, I mean.
Total coincidence.
Just made it on his own, though.
Exactly.
All his last name is Cage.
On his own. with those crazy gyrations.
Wait, is his dad's Francis Ford Coppola, isn't he? And Jason Schwartzman's grandfather is Francis Ford Coppola.
That somehow makes a lot of sense.
And his mom is, I don't know her name, but Adrian from Rocky. Who was also in The Godfather.
On the merit of their talent alone.
Well, Jason Schwartzman's fucking awesome.
Well, yeah.
Wait, no. I'm not Jason Schwartzman.
He has Coppola's eyebrows. That might just be a coincidence, though.
Shit. The guy who was in Rushmore.
That's Jason Schwartzman.
Oh, okay. I was thinking I got him mixed up with Jason Biggs.
No, Jason Biggs was... No, you're right the first time.
I know.
It's never Jason Biggs. Where is Jason Biggs these days?
Who cares?
What do you think how does he make money?
He goes around and fucks pies in front of people. He's just
that checks out.
Or, you know, he just talks about it. He's like, hey.
Weirdest bachelor party ever.
Guys, remember me, I'm the pie fucker. Ha ha ha.
All right, now fuck the pie. Normally, you know, people pay me before I fuck the pie. Like, fuck the pie, then we'll pay you. Okay.
It's like the end of Requiem for a Dream.
Slower!
He has to go ass to ass with the pie.
No, guys, come on. I said no cell camera, no phone, no photos. No, come on. No Instagram. No. Oh.
I want to use the restroom real quick and then come back. And then we can talk about
the other wrestling.
NXT and SmackDown.
That's right.
We can talk about them together because I think it's good to do that and also be quicker.
Do you think I undersold AEW?
No.
Okay. And we're back from another seamless edit.
So, NXT happened the same time of AEW Dynamite.
And we noticed when we were watching Dynamite that NXT went for 15 minutes longer than AEW.
Yeah. And I watched a little bit that night after.
It just had to be longer.
I watched a little bit of it that night after AEW. And
I never got around to it.
There were cool moments. Like, Finn Balor is NXT again.
Cool.
Tommaso Ciampa's back.
Yay.
Matt Riddle and Adam Cole had a great match.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I'll watch that shit.
And Shayna Baszler and Candice LeRae had a great match, too.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay. I have to watch
Shayna Baszler is fucking awesome.
Yeah, she is. Fuck.
So, the wrestling was great. And the crowd
She's tough as hell.
Yeah. And the crowd was white hot. As it always is.
Uh-huh.
But that crowd is fucking small.
That was what happened when we had just finished watching AEW and we switched over to NXT and accidentally, I think at that point, just saw Adam Cole with the championship belt. It's like, oh, fuck. Okay, yeah. I get it. They didn't time that well, I guess. Like, give us the last 15 minutes, but make them, like, spectacular. So I'm like, let's see what NXT is doing. But you're right. That crowd was such a come down from the energy of a sold out Capital One Center in DC. Yeah. And I think we've both been to that arena for other things. I've been there for like
Capital
Raws.
One.
Yeah. Have you been there?
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been there.
Place sucks for concerts.
Oh, God. I bet.
It's the worst.
Have I been there for a concert? I think back when it first opened, it was like the MCI Center. Was that right? I think I saw a show there.
I don't know. Basketball, boo. Hockey, it's awesome.
Yeah, fuck yeah. The Capitals there. Yeah. That's a great place to see hockey.
Yeah. That's hockey fans in general.
Yeah.
They're a rowdier crowd.
Oh, yeah. But seeing a sold out Capital One Center for wrestling.
Yeah.
And the crowd being that fucking hyped up.
Oh, yeah. WWE doesn't sell that shit out.
No. No, God no. Even when they sell out, even when they sell out by like pumping up an appearance by Stone Cold Steve Austin, which we will get to. Like the crowd isn't that excited, you know? Like they don't have that energy. It's like, "Yeah, we're here. Now entertain me before I, you know, and show me some dough commercials."
I think you need to start saying which we might get to.
Which we might get to.
Or we may get to it.
We'll get to it.
We might get to it.
I wrote it down. We're getting to it.
There's a lot we never get to.
Well.
So, yeah, the crowd was noticeably different. And then
no one's complaining.
And then you go to SmackDown and, like, just, again, a shitload of fucking pyro and this overwhelmingly large set with all kinds of LED screens,
yeah,
and just crazy graphics and just like way over the top. And AEW, you know, they have a big set too, and they're so it was like I don't know where they were Monday, but you know, big arena, Capital One,
right,
Center Arena or whatever it is in DC, and then the Staples Center in LA for SmackDown,
MCI Center,
yeah. Whatever.
The Verizon Center.
I think the Verizon Center was like two sponsors ago. Right. I think it's the Capital One Arena now.
It is Capital One Arena. What was it before that? AOL.
MCI
Arena.
Center?
No, MCI Center was first.
Oh.
And then I think it was Verizon Center. Oh, yeah. Then it was Capital One Arena.
Whatever. That place sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And, except for Caps games. I've seen amazing Caps games there. Again, we already covered that. Continue.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Staples Center is massive, and you know the show was sold out. So,
oh yeah,
and they had all the over the top pyro, and it just became abundantly clear that like NXT is like an indie show.
Yeah,
and like way to go WWE for burying your own fucking program.
Yeah,
you're going up against. So it's only a matter of time before they take that show on the road. But it also clearly
they'd have to, right?
Yeah, but it also clearly to me evidences how little thought they put into putting something out there to rival AEW.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Triple H showed up in the beginning, remember?
Oh, I'm sure he's like he wants to have complete and total control of it.
Sure.
Because, you know, I really think he would make a fan fucking tastic product.
And it will have to grow to the point where they can take it on the road because I mean, AEW is just going to get bigger from where it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're going to do AEW Dynamite in football stadiums. So.
No, no. But I mean, they're going to be packing arenas. Those first 4 weeks, 5 weeks are all sold out already. Yeah. They've been sold out.
Yeah.
Those crowds are going to be white hot.
Yeah.
They're going to have a great start. And they're feeding those crowds great matches. And it's leading up to Full Gear. Mark, where's Full Gear taking place?
I don't know.
Right here in Baltimore, Maryland. The professional wrestling's spiritual capital.
I think your seats are going to be fucking great.
I can't wait. They are fucking great.
Yeah.
We looked them up on the chart.
You're like directly...
When Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley inevitably bring the match into the crowd, I have a pretty good chance of being one of those a-holes pointing at the camera and saying, "Congratulations, Mark and Dundalk Diane. Have a good honeymoon. Wish you were here."
We'll be in Paris.
Maybe we'll make a sign that says, "Congrats, Mark and Kat." Just so that we can play it for you over and over and over again.
That'd be fine by us. We'll be in Paris on November 9th. You'll be at Full Gear Live, and
fuck
we will
yeah.
be at a ballet in Paris.
Well, they're both just telling the story through a match, if you think about it. Also, if you think about it, with the time change, Wait, hold on. How does it work? So
they're
you would have to.
They're 6 hours ahead.
Okay, so if you just got up really early in the morning, you could start the day with AEW, right?
So
and end it.
Nah, I'd have to end
it. Wait, the other way.
It'd be 2 a.m. when it started.
Oh, come back from the ballet. AEW will be beginning.
We're going to probably spend a lot of time at this restaurant called.
I can't think of a better way to spend a honeymoon than watching your a-hole friend on TV at a pro wrestling match yelling at you through a camera. Who's Paris? Are you having fun in Paris?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll be wearing like a mime costume. I'll be holding a baguette with an ascot.
Please do.
Oh, mon Dieu. Oh, mon Dieu. Every time Kenny Omega just smacks John Moxley with a kendo stick right in front of me. Oh, mon Dieu! Qu'est-ce qui se passe? Oh, non!
Will you please say...
Quel dommage!
If that happens, will you please say one of those things?
I am working on a little... So I can wax my mustache. I'll grow it out until then.
Because you'll be right there if they come out in the crowd.
It sure does look that way from the seating chart, Mark.
Yeah. And you're not going to be on the floor with those smelly mouth breathers.
No, no, no. That's too close.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the end of SmackDown.
Oh, we haven't even started about the beginning of SmackDown yet.
Well, who really cares?
No, because there's something... Wait, hold on. Before we finish talking about NXT...
I did not like SmackDown.
Well, we're still talking about NXT. You had something to say about Mara... I wrote this down. Mara JR College Football.
Oh, so last night when I was watching the Ohio State game, I was just getting so...
Wait, OH?
IO!
Okay, yeah.
I was just getting so annoyed at the commentary because Kirk Herbstreit, who's usually awesome, just kept saying dumb shit after dumb shit. And it was just like...
It's boss time!
Yeah, basically. And I was just like...
Guess what, guys?
I was just like, oh, shit. How lowbrow is sports commentary? But that's how elevated JR...
Isn't it weird that professional wrestling is a higher art form than sports commentary?
Well, with JR and Mauro doing it, it is.
Well, no, hold on. There are exceptions to every rule.
They are
the best.
There's a guy who does football and basketball for the Big Ten Network, and I think CBS. His name is Gus Johnson. He is awesome.
Yeah.
He's just a great commentator. Just so energetic and really brings a voice to the game. It's nice. So, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else to talk about with NXT?
No, that was it.
Okay.
Friday Night SmackDown. Let's see. They started off the show. Hold on. We got to talk about The Rock, and we got to talk about Becky Lynch, and we have to talk about how I thought Baron Corbin was going to shoot cry when he had The Rock and Becky Lynch, both The Rock eternally white hot, Becky Lynch currently white hot, just like he looked sickly next to The Rock. And he looked like he was dying of the plague.
Yeah, it definitely looked like somebody was making a wish that night.
And his wish was to be humiliated and buried for all eternity. So, was this the first segment?
Yep.
Yeah, the first segment with King Corbin. Again, incorrect. It should be King Baron, but...
That would be... They really booked themselves into a corner by giving a Baron a kingship.
Exactly. Right. Fuck. Oh, is that it? Is Corbin his first name? Is he Corbin Dallas? Baron Corbin. King Corbin. If Corbin's his first name, it makes more sense. Maybe I'm the asshole here. No, they're the asshole here. Because there are no rules and nothing matters. It's just like the White House. Anyway, he comes out, and that was completely... It was totally uncomfortable to watch. It was like an actual cuckolding.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it started off as like, oh man, boy, Baron Corbin's going to get his ass handed to him. Like, fuck, that's like a nuclear bomb of burying.
Oh, God, because yeah.
Because that thing where Becky Lynch came out and said, STD, somehow stuck the chant STD to him.
Yep.
It's like, he literally cannot ever come out in front of a camera again now because of that chant.
I mean, it's the WWE universe is not like the brightest crowd. They don't.
Yeah, but
remember,
that's the kind of shit that's going to stick. It's like the what chant. That'll never die. It's like
the nugget chant.
Unfortunately, an STD. Yeah. What?
Remember, that was what Owen Hart was being called before he died. Nugget. Remember?
Oh.
Somebody was like, yeah, he's like that. The piece of poop that you can't flush down. He's like a nugget.
That was the gear he was wearing. That's the gear he died in.
That's what the crowd would chant at him when he wrestled.
Oh, right. Oh,
nugget.
No. I forgot. I totally forgot about that.
Yep. And then he died while he was in a nugget match or before the nugget match.
Yeah, but that didn't stick around like what did.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he's
what?
He's not
what?
Around. He's not around what? To be.
See? Like, that is the perfect chant for assholes.
Don't you just feel like somebody's just going to do that during the presidential debate when the Democratic nominee tries talking?
No, pretty soon I think that's going to start happening during the State of the Union. The State of the Union. What? Like, oh my God, South Carolina. Fuck. Shut up.
So speaking of Stone Cold, he was supposed to be at SmackDown. You sent me this story.
Yes.
So what was it? What happened?
So the story was Stone Cold Steve Austin was apparently billed to be showing at SmackDown Live or Friday Night SmackDown on Fox on the premiere. And up to that night, apparently they still had signs up at one point. They were advertising Stone Cold tonight at this show that all of you marks just bought tickets for. Hooray. Thank you for selling it out. And then Stone Cold didn't show up and everybody was waiting like till the end because everybody thought Stone Cold Steve Austin was going to be there. And they were like, okay, any second now. They're running out of time. Any second now. And then at the end of SmackDown, people started booing. And when they went off the air, the crowd started chanting AEW, according to wrestling journalist Jesus Dave Meltzer. America's one true source for pro wrestling news. He's the iPhone of wrestling news. Yeah, there are other options, but I mean, you might as well just get the iPhone, right?
Yeah, just get on the same page with everybody else.
I mean, you know one's better. You don't need all the weird fringe options. I just give me the best one. Just go for it.
So The Undertaker was also supposed to be on SmackDown.
Really? That I did not hear.
And well, I don't know that they billed him as being on it, but it was rumored he was going to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe because he's been around recently. He did. I don't know. Didn't he have a match in September against
Saudi
somebody?
Arabia? Probably.
He had Goldberg? A tag match with Roman Reigns.
He fight Goldberg.
Well, there was that. And then he was at SummerSlam.
Who cares?
I don't know. So, well, I guess maybe that's why what happened because somebody tweeted or Facebook messaged him like, oh, it would have been cooler for you to be in that last segment, which we will get to, maybe.
Yeah. Asterisk.
And he replied, I was told I wasn't needed.
Shit.
Yeah. I mean, they should have said that 5 years ago.
Oh, wobbity womp. He's past his prime.
So, what did you think about the Brock Lesnar Kofi Kingston match that ended SmackDown?
I honestly didn't make it that far. I heard about it the next day and I'm like, oh. I made the right call.
Yeah, you did. Dude, so...
I figured, I'm going to quit while they're ahead.
For those that don't know.
Because it was pretty good up to that point.
Yeah, it was okay.
Save the STD chant.
The STD chant, and then the pointless ladder match and the pointless lumberjack match.
Oh, yeah, the ladder match where, for the entire first thing, I was thought, wait, hold on. They're wrestling for an empty briefcase?
Yeah.
And then they, over the commercial break, they came back and said, oh, just to be clear, there's two termination contracts in the briefcase.
Oh.
Like, wait, are they both signed? Is the winner going to rip up theirs? What is it? What is exactly the stipulation? I have more questions now.
That's not how employment contracts work.
No. It's like, or does the loser is going to be forced, what, a gunpoint to sign it? I don't understand. Like, what? How you're going to humiliate them by having to sign their own termination because a referee is standing there? Like, what are you? I don't know where this story is going. You literally made that up during the commercial break because someone said, wait, people are tweeting that that's an empty briefcase. Oh, fuck. What is it? What's in there? What are they wrestling for? They were wrestling. The loser would have to retire. So the winner gets an empty briefcase.
Hmm. Sounds like in this instance the loser is the winner.
Yeah, I think that's where I tuned out. Like you're not even putting that level of effort into it until the first commercial break.
That was like at 8:30, so you watched you barely watched any of SmackDown.
Oh, then I watched enough.
I'll tell you, been an hour into it.
I saw The Rock. It was great.
Yeah.
And then I realized nothing will be that great as what I just saw.
Yeah.
But you know what? I know exactly the moment I finally tuned out. When they came back, and it was, I think, some Seth Rollins bullshit was going to happen. And apparently they had brought Hogan into the crowd to take a seat.
Oh, yeah.
And he was on the screen. You saw the back of his head for like a second and a half. And then they cut back to the ring. I felt like, oh, they really hoped he would be in his seat by the time they came back from a commercial break. They didn't want to show him on TV at all. They wanted the crowd like, hey, Hulk Hogan's here. Hulk Hogan's presumably he did a whole entrance that happened during the commercial break. I thought, fuck, they're really hiding their shame here when they're on Fox.
They're not.
Hogan wasn't on it.
He was on the TV broadcast.
He like went to his seat when they brought him in.
They acknowledged him.
But not on TV. It was like, and you see Hulk Hogan there taking a seat. And down the match. Like, it was not even a thing.
Dude, he'll fucking be on Fox. It's fucking Fox.
It felt like they were hiding him after what they had done on SmackDown, having the whole thing with him. It felt like they were getting the worst parts out of the way on dumb old USA so they can say, like, oh, we had Hogan on Raw. Now we're on Fox. It just happens to be that we're hiding him.
It was very clear that they were certainly going for an MMA boxing audience because they had Tyson Fury was sitting in the front row.
I don't think MMA folks like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly. But they had Tyson Fury in the front row who had a moment with Braun Strowman. And
oh, really?
He ended up like jumping over the railing.
I don't know who MMA people are.
Well, Tyson Fury, I think, is a boxer.
I don't watch real combat sports.
And then later, the ultimate moment, after Brock Lesnar beats Kofi Kingston in or 7 seconds, Kofi Kingston takes immediately an F5, 1-2-3, match over. An F5 that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins kick out of, like they have absolutely no effect at all. But Kofi Kingston takes one at the beginning of the match, and that's it. And his 6-month reign as champion comes to a finish.
That's...
And Brock Lesnar is celebrating. And
so disappointing.
And then Rey Mysterio's music drops, and he comes out with this dude. And I was like, damn, his son Dominic got fucking jacked this week. I was like, wait, who is that? Because immediately I thought it was his son. Because
really?
Like, why? I don't watch UFC. So I recognize Cain Velasquez's name, but I don't recognize him as a person. And
I
also,
don't recognize
like,
either.
Why Rey Mysterio? Because they're both Mexican? They're just like, hey.
Hey, do you two know each other already? No? Huh. Well, here, you're meeting now. Get in the ring, damn it.
So Cain Velasquez comes out, and they haven't even signed him to a contract yet.
Wait.
But they're going to. And it's so stupid. So he and Brock Lesnar had a match in UFC. And apparently Cain Velasquez just beat the shit out of Lesnar.
So they're going to have a pretend fight?
Yes. Like, why?
Not, that will never live up to the real fight.
Because they had the real fight.
Yeah, I don't know why I said it that way, but I appreciate you repeating it that
no,
way.
No, I know. I wasn't mocking
real
you.
Real fight. No. You weren't, which is kind of the great part.
And it's just like, what the fuck? Like, they give Brock Lesnar the strap immediately. Now they're going to put a UFC opponent immediately in a championship program, thus essentially burying the entire SmackDown roster.
Right.
Other than, what, a competition for the Intercontinental Championship or U.S. Championship, maybe?
You know why I like AEW? Because they hire wrestlers, professional wrestlers. Professional wrestlers who either wear the briefs or the tights, but none of this in-between shit.
Yeah, that's
that guy will stick with me forever.
It's apparently Jay Lethal's downfall. His ring gear is in the in-between.
Right. That's the only thing holding him back.
Oh, God. So, Cain Velasquez. So, I read today SmackDown drew 3.9 million. Raw was like...
That's not bad.
Somewhere, yeah, that's a lot of fucking people. Raw was somewhere in the twos.
I was no selling it, I guess.
Or maybe Raw was like 3. AEW was 1.5 and NXT was 800,000. WWE tweeted on Thursday, congratulations to AEW for a successful premiere.
Well, now that they know that they're safe.
No, that was before SmackDown. And then Jericho said in an interview that he said they said that because they're scared. He knows exactly how they operate and they're scared.
Oh, Jericho's the best.
He said they basically just got clowned by this pissant company. And they got their asses handed to them in the ratings and they're scared. But then he went on
Jericho's
to say,
the best.
He was like, but you know, we don't have any competition.
Right.
Because he's like, our only competition is ourselves. Like, we don't have competition.
Right. They say we're an alternative. We don't care what they're doing. We're not trying to match them. We're trying to outdo ourselves. I thought, oh, fuck, you liars. But I love it.
Oh, yeah, they're
full
of shit.
But I love it. But I love it.
They're so full of shit.
I don't pay attention to what the other brand is doing. Then you might not.
Whew.
They might not. But they know we are.
This week was exhausting now that I think about it. That's a lot of fucking wrestling.
It's a lot of fucking wrestling.
I'm going to cut out.
Yeah, what are you? All right, so that's it. Every week you have available to you Raw, AEW Dynamite, NXT, and Friday Night SmackDown. How much of that are you going to stick with this week?
I think I'm definitely going to watch AEW Dynamite.
Yes.
And I will most
likely... Oh, good,
likely...
so the podcast may continue.
And I will most
Friendship
likely...
Friendship resumed.
I'll most likely watch NXT on the DVR.
Yeah.
And I will barely check in on Raw and SmackDown, I think.
That sounds, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to watch Raw or SmackDown at all. I will watch all of AEW live and NXT. Are they going back to just the first hour on USA, or are they going to be 2 hours from now on?
I guess it all depends if Suits is done.
I guess. I don't know. Did they preempt Suits for that NXT? That's pretty cool. Is Suits a popular show? I don't know anyone. No one I know has ever once recommended the show Suits.
I don't know. Meghan Markle was on it. So, now she's a princess.
So, I guess it was good for one person?
My friend Patrick likes it.
Is it about Taylors? An immigrant family who is standing up their own company for the first time using the expertise that they have carried with them. Their family has carried generations into the past from their home country, and they're just setting up their little shop and establishing themselves as a family, as new Americans. Is that what it's about?
You're very close.
Oh, good.
It's about a law firm.
Oh, good.
And it's about a lawyer at this firm who... faked passing the bar, but he's actually like a boy wonder.
But he was an immigrant, I imagine.
Nope, white dude.
Oh,
Oh, that's a surprise.
Classic American drama.
Oh, they're going to say classic American dream.
That too.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's that.
So, yeah. You
so
know,
if that's over, it could be 2 hours, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I feel like I will probably cut out Raw and SmackDown. I'm going to watch Hell in a Cell tonight.
Oh.
Mostly.
Well, you can catch me up on that next week.
Yeah. And when I say watch it, I mean, I'm probably going to play my mobile game. And yeah. Then I just want to see the Fiends match.
I'm sure that'll be fine.
I just want to see his entrance more than anything.
Yeah, that you can just listen to his entrance music on iTunes.
Nah, it's cooler. It's cooler to see him do it.
I don't know, dude.
That
I
was
like,
the best.
Sometimes I just like cruising around downtown with my windows down, blasting the Fiends music.
Just screaming, "Hurt!"
Oh yeah, "Hell!" And of course I'm screaming along on a loop.
And then people are just like, "There goes another incel."
And wearing a. I was going to try to punch that up by saying, and wearing a Fiend mask, but I think by what you said, that's already kind of a given. Boy, what a week of wrestling.
Yeah.
We really talked almost exclusively about wrestling today.
Let's never do that again.
No, it was exhausting.
Yeah, Jesus
Let's
Christ.
Only watch... you know what? I really... There are a lot of NXT, folks on NXT I would like to see get called up to AEW.
I would love to see a crossover pay-per-view between those two.
Oh, my God.
I would pay money for that.
I would love to see Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole.
Oh, God, that'd be fucking sweet. There's so many matchups.
Adam Page versus Adam Cole. Adam versus Adam. Battle of the Adams.
Velveteen Dream versus anybody.
Fuck yeah.
There's endless possibilities.
I want Velveteen Dream to get called up. I want... Oh, yeah. I have a whole wish list for AEW.
I'll say this. The first two episodes of NXT, I added two matches to the match of the year list.
Yeah.
And then the second week, the Dominik Dijakovic, Keith Lee match was fucking insane.
Shit.
That was a crazy match.
I saw that. That was fucking great.
And like Riddle,
Keith Lee was amazing.
Oh God, that like, dude is ridiculous.
I did not expect him to move that way for a bigger guy.
Yeah,
the way that he was like, he's an agile motherfucker.
Now AEW and NXT do similar spots. Like,
yes,
like,
they do that ring apron shit. They both do that fucking ring apron shit.
They do the stuff that like really looks like
makes
it
my
fucking
stomach
hurts.
Turn. Yeah. Yeah,
it's like. They're actually fighting each other, but in a fake way.
Right.
But it's like...
In a way that matters.
Hey, I'm actually going to literally break your body down through these fake moves because you have to take a hard bump.
They're telling a story.
Yeah.
They really are, though.
Yeah.
And it becomes an art form.
They're really sacrificing their bodies for
Or an art form perfected. Yeah, they are.
So how can I not watch it? I'm going to watch both of those programs.
Yeah.
But I'm not watching Raw and SmackDown. Those pussies don't sacrifice shit.
Braun! Should we bring this home, Mark?
Yeah. Let's... I don't have anything else to say.
And Maisie's getting antsy.
It feels like it's Wednesday, but it's Sunday.
It is Sunday. Sunday, Sunday. Oh, good.
This
the week
is
only starting tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Another news cycle just revving up.
Oh, God. I can't even anymore.
It was a quiet
weekend. I can't
weekend.
Even with the news anymore.
Oh, God. Damn it. Second whistleblower? That don't mean shit.
What? Oh.
He's already fucking admitted to doing the very thing the
I mean,
first whistleblower said he
I
did.
I am thankful that these whistleblowers have come forward so that we can have such a well-fleshed-out footnote in history. look, I'm not cynical about the demise of democracy. Yeah, oh no. I've turned a corner. All right, this is not good. Let's end the episode!
Yep.
We're just we're a bunch of AEW fanboys now.
I don't mean to put some pressure on us, but I think our next episode we might have to reveal what could end up becoming one of the biggest stories ever in the history of wrestling.
What's that?
I'm not going to spoil it now.
Oh.
But stay tuned
for whenever we do that. It was a low point for the show. Rana joined us our schedule by now.
attack SmackDown. Apparently, if you put executive vice president in front of anybody's name, they feel important.